News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
7:49 now on News Talk Breakfast. The UK government recently enacted a mandatory age verification law to restrict young people gaining access to porn online. Daniel Pryor, though, head of programmes at the Adam Smith Institute, believes the new measures are dangerous, and he joins us now to explain why porn is not necessarily bad for us. Daniel, let's just deal with this age verification measures. You don't think they work. Is that because young people are just really good at getting around these things?
That's certainly one of the reasons. Yeah, I think that most teenagers have been avoiding these sort of blocks since the dawn of the internet, and the sort of sites that teenagers are likely to stumble across porn on, things like social media sites like Twitter and Facebook, they're actually exempt from this ban because a site needs to have at least one third adult material to be affected. And for the ones that are determined, they can use a virtual private network to pretend that they're in another country, or indeed they can just go on the dark web where there's absolutely no oversight and lots of even more disturbing material, shall we say.
Why do you believe the threat of porn is overstated, is exaggerated?
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff going out there that's suggesting porn does all of these terrible things, like it leads to an increase in sexual violence or it ruins relationships. But actually, a lot of the research in this area is pretty flawed. The best quality stuff we have suggests that porn doesn't really have that much of an effect on our relationships. Oftentimes, people who are experiencing problems with porn often had other issues that were related to their use of pornography, but weren't actually caused by that in the first place. And I think one of the issues here is that the underlying problem isn't porn itself, but oftentimes it's that teenagers and young people don't have the sex education to be able to put it in context and say whether or not this is actually relevant to real life sex or whether it's something completely separate.
Yeah, I mean, what about common sense, though, and even leave aside research? Because I think you make reasonable points about some of the research being maybe leading in this question. But common sense would suggest that porn creates unrealistic expectations about what sex actually is. It creates pressures on people to behave in a certain way. It creates pressures around body shape. I mean, you see things like the absence now of body hair. That's all driven by porn, is it not?
I think some of it is driven by porn, but it's important to remember that a lot of the time this is simply because people aren't able to have porn as anything other than the default mode of sex education. That's all that they get, or that's the first place that they find out about sex from. So it's important that in schools people are able to critically engage with it. And
Daniel, people don't watch porn because they're not getting enough sex education.
Well, in young people often watch it because they have no other alternative, especially when it comes to LGBT groups, for example. They might not get the kind of sex that they'd be used to having in schools traditionally, so that's their default mode, and it's important that we actually turn and give these sort of sex education practices as well.
Isn't there a massive difference now between, say, things 30, 40 years ago where you had what was essentially harmless, a magazine being passed around a classroom, you know, fellas taking a glimpse of it. Now it's the fact that it's ever present. You have blanket exposure. You can have blanket exposure to porn. It is literally just a click on your phone away, and that must create problems. Too much of anything isn't good for you.
Well, certainly too much of anything isn't good. And there are people who struggle with pornography and making it a healthy part of their lives. But that is the vast minority of people who use it. And when it comes to whether things are getting more violent or whether starting watching porn leads you to watch more violent material, potentially harmful material, again, I point to the evidence here. This just doesn't seem to be the case. If you look at research that you've done, content analysis, looking at websites and finding out whether videos are getting more hardcore or more worrying in various other ways, that just doesn't seem to be the case. Certainly in the last 10 years at least, there's been very little change, and the majority of pornography on the internet is not the sort that you get as worried about.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Daniel Pryor, Head of Programmes at the Adam Smith Institute in the UK. Thanks indeed for talking to us this morning.
53106, let us know your views on this. Do you agree with him? Do you think that Dan is right on this story? 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. Back in a moment.